night, Wednesday evening, 4/6/22. We're not going to be doing Revelation tonight. The title of this is Take the Whole Land, W-H-O-L-E. First scripture is Joshua chapter 11. Joshua 11:23 says, "So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested for more." And when you see something else in Joshua chapter 6, this is... This was during the battle. Jericho fell. Verse 21 says, "And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword." So they just go in and do part of it. They went in and did all of it. They did everything, all of it. God told them to destroy everything. Okay. All right. The thing about leaving things, what happens when you leave things? What happens when the Lord tells you to go in and take something? And you don't take it all, you just take part of it. What happens? Yeah. You get all this stuff left behind that you should have taken care of and you didn't take care of. And he said, there's a scripture we're going to look at. This is Numbers 33:55. He said, if you don't go in and take it all, take it out the way I tell you to, this is what you're going to deal with. I mean, look around you. 33:55. "But if he will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which he let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell." So, how long are we supposed to do it? Until it's all gone, right? Mm-hmm. Until it's all gone. All right. Joshua 23, go back just, or forward just a little bit, is another one where Joshua warns them of the same thing. After he took the whole land. "Know for certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord God your God hath given you." Kind of sounds like it's up to the person, it's up to the individual to drive these irritants, these things that are either way, pricks in your eyes or thorns in your eyes, thorns in your side, scourges in your side. All right, one more, Judges 2, verse 3. "Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you." Is that going on right now? I mean, think about our capital. It's one big satanic worship center. I mean, it is. That's all it is. I remember 107 saying, bless America. Bless what? We got a giant phallic symbol right there in the, right there by the Capitol in the White House. What can God bless out of that? He can't bless that. All these, the guy with the harbingers, whatever his name is, you know, all that have come before and talked about, you know, if we don't do something, it's something's happening, something's going to come, you know, this is just, it's not going to be able to remain this way. God's not going to allow it to remain this way. Well, what have they been waiting for? Well, for one, the church to wake up. You know, after I read that about the Declaration of Independence Sunday, I heard three programmers within 24 hours read the same thing. We the people, we have to take care of the ites in our life. Now, we're doing a pretty good job around here of that, you know, and we're speaking, you know, towards the nation and the things that are going on there, plus what we're dealing with personally, too. But I'd have to say, the Lord says there's many like us all over, and I'm sure there are. We just don't know any. I'd have to say everybody that I basically know are probably clueless. They're clueless, first, about what's really going on. And secondly, they're from the traditional church, and they're taught to suck on bottles, not to pick up your sword and put on your armor. Sadly. But things are going to change. Times are changing. No longer can it be this way, because there's a lot of patriots out there, whether they be religious or not, they are standing up for the truth. Okay, here's what thorns are. Sense of prickling. In other words, just a continual agitation. Just aggravate all the time. Have you felt the intensity of it? I said, Lord, my God. You'd be 24/7. So that's what it feels like. But the Lord said to me, when are you going to stop putting up with it? I thought, say what? I thought I had been. Well, we're going to see tonight maybe some areas that maybe we've kind of fallen a little bit. We don't realize that we have. So y'all bear with me. I want to stress to you tonight especially about staying away from negativity of any kind. Speaking it, viewing it. We can't maintain battle stance and be strong if we're being bombarded with negativity. All right, Noah Webster's dictionary, 1828 dictionary, says that negative is to disprove. I put here the Bible. To prove the contrary. To refuse to enact. It's the opposite of positive. See, that's the devil's narrative. To just fill the airways, and I know the white hats are doing that too, to wake people up. But I heard something today, and it kind of makes sense to me. He said, I don't think they're trying to wake people up anymore. I think they're trying to, there's a certain group of people that have been behind the scenes and hidden. And we've been seeing this. We've been seeing those that say they are and they are not. Finally coming up out of the woodwork, and you're thinking, whoa, I thought they were A-okay. He said, I think these are what they're trying to flush out. Maybe so. I don't know. I guess we'll see. It's time to get all negatives out of the equation. For the person of faith, there is no room for them. No room. You must be the one to run the thorns out of your life. Run them completely off. Some have been there a while, It might be tough for a while, but if you will stay with it, you will prevail over them. You have to make it like most Christians take the stance, well, I can't buy that anymore, I can't go there anymore, I can't do this anymore, because they believe you boycotts what you do. You just let them have it. Well, they think they're just going to worship rapture out of here, and you know, what good's this place anyway? But just the opposite is true. God says, I've given this to you. I mean, nowadays, like the last few generations have, they've lost things that we learned about, like taking care of things, being responsible, holding down a job, just little things. Well, you know, I get that stimulus check every month. No, we can't have that kind of attitude. See, that's the younger generations. I see why God's raising up older people, because they're going to have to teach the younger. If they don't, who will? Nobody. I mean, do you feel comfortable thinking that's our future with some of the stuff you've seen? Dear God in heaven, no. I mean, it's awful. It really is awful. All right. Ephesians 6. Starting with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's those the extraterrestrials, those ETs and all them things. People really believe they're real. No, they're demonics. That's why you know, people say, oh, I see these things in the air. Yeah, it's the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He's the prince of the power of the air. You know what? If the alien thing was really real, why hide it? If it's really real, why hide it? It's because it's a hoax. But I'm telling you, this is their last push. This is the last thing that they want to do. This has been going on for a long time, this plan to deceive the whole earth with an alien invasion. Oh, we come in peace. Some of them are going to look like angels, probably. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I don't know if y'all realize it or not, but the hardest part of this, I don't think we've seen yet. I don't know what all it's going to entail, but I know this. Satan's after your mind. He's after to deceive. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He has armed us and given us everything we need to succeed in this time. But we have to guard our minds. We do. That's what the onslaught, it's not a physical war, even though there are physical fight, there's physical fighting. But basically, it is a spiritual fight. between good and evil. A different kind of warfare. And unfortunately, a lot of the church knows nothing about. Sadly. No compromise. Keep a good conversation. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures on this. This is Psalms 37:14, a good conversation. Sometimes I think we get pulled over into conversations and we begin to say negative things and we look back later and think, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Why did I say that? So you have to really watch it. 37:14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. You know why it's so important? It's because the two masters are two narratives. You remember the movie A Tale of Two Cities? Well, this is a tale of two narratives, two masters. How you think and your conversation. All right. Did I hit a nerve or something? Yes. Psalms 50:23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. I got a few more here. This is Psalms 50:23. All right, let's go over into the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Did I write that down wrong? I think I wrote that down wrong. Let me look, see if it's second. Because that's not it. Oh, it's 2 Corinthians, sorry. 1:12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you world, to you word. I remember Charles Capps talking about that. He was talking about he would rather cuss than say something negative. I think that's how he put it. Okay, Ephesians 4:22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. All right, Philippians 1. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. 28's good. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God. You know, Jesus made a good confession before Pontius Pilate. You could say he kept his conversation godly. He didn't let, even though he went to the cross, he did it by faith. He did not give up his words, his good conversation. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven. Oh, good night. When I read that, I thought, get out of town. Our conversation is in heaven. There's another scripture that talks about that the angels, whenever two get together and talk about the glory of God, the angels record it. That's a scary thought, isn't it? I wonder if it bounces off the walls of heaven when we... From whence also we look for the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, help us, Lord. James 3. This is verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. 1 Peter 1, 15. There were more than this. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. 1 Peter 3, 16. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that ye may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. All right, 2 Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? To speak negatively goes against Scripture, and we become compromised. As warriors, we must maintain a good conversation, a conversation that does not negate the Word of God. This is Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. We're not to be negative and gripe about our situations, but we are to speak to them. Mark 11. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Well, if you're going to have faith in God, what is faith in God? What does it mean to have faith in God? You're saying the same thing as God concerning your situation. His word. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Tell it to be removed and don't back down. Stand your ground, keep your mouth right. The thing is, most people might try it a few times, but how long are you willing to stand and speak, even if you're not seeing the results? Because, you know, a lot of these things have been around a long time, and they've been able to get in and do things they wanted to do because you were non-resistant. Yeah? We can't have bitter and sweet coming out at the same time. One day saying, yeah, bless God, and the next day, oh! I just don't know what I'm going to do. All right, let's go back to James. We're going to read a little more of that chapter. One day we're singing, Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen. The next day we're saying, oh, victory in Jesus. All right, James 3. It says, my brethren, verse 1, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Wow. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small hem whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Yeah. Just as David cut off the head of the giant he faced, so do we when we stand. To cut off the head is to remove that authority from you. That authority is trying to wield over you. It's trying to take your ground. It's trying to push you back off of the ground. Just like Joshua said, take the whole land. Take it to the point that it never comes back. Don't let it come back. Don't let your conversation open a door to cause it to come back, because you get down. One of David's most outstanding attributes was his conversation. Let's go over to 1 Samuel 17. Y'all know this story. We've read it many times. Okay, I'm going to start verse 1 there. Now the Philistines gathered together. I know it feels like we've got a whole army of Philistines coming against us. They came against their armies to battle and were gathered together at Socho, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Socho and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing his shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to rule. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. The Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that ye may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was a son of that Ephraimite of Bethlehem of Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of the 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now they're running to the foxhole and hiding out scared for 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand. And look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely, to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make him his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thine heart. Thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the same manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, him and a war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. I want you to know, I was going to teach on Revelation tonight. This wasn't my idea, just so you know. And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host to the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Is that a good conversation? I'd say that's a good conversation. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. He fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. You know, there's something about God's, the way God gives us his armor, not our armor, his armor to fight our battles. When we stand in that armor and we keep our conversation right, there's special stuff that comes alongside to help us. God slays the enemy for us. It's not us. It's just doing what he told us to do. That's what David did. And he said it was, God will give you into our hands. While everyone else was negative and ran for the foxhole, David's godly conversation prevailed over the giant. All right, Proverbs 6:2. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. It's time to stop making excuses and deal with that giant, the mountain that stands in your way. Joshua took the whole land. He didn't leave any thorns to come back and torment him or his descendants. All right, let's go to Joshua chapter 12. Verse 1, now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun, from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all the plain on the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river and from half Gilead even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. From the plain to the sea of Chinnereth on the east, and unto the side sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, the way to Beth Jezemoth, and from the south under Ashdoth Pisgah, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashdoth and Edrei, and reigned in Mount Hermon, and in Salca, and in all Bashan, unto the border of the Gershurites and the Maacathites, the half Gilead, the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Them did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan on the west, from Beth Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto the Mount Halak, that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave to the tribes of Israel for possession according to their divisions, in the mountains and in the valleys and in the plains and in the springs and in the wilderness and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, the king of Jericho, one, the king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, one, the king of Jerusalem, one, the king of Hebron, one, the king of Jarmuth, one, the king of Lachish, one, the king of Eglon, one, the king of Gezer, one, the king of Debir, one, the king of Gedar, one, the king of Hormah, one, the king of Arad, one, the king of Libna, one, the king of Adullam, one, the king of Makeda, one, the king of Bethel, one, the king of Tapua, one, the king of Hefer, one, the king of Aphek, one, the king of Lasharon, one, the king of Madon, one, the king of Hazor, one, the king of Shimron, Moron, one, the king of Ashoph, one, the king of Tanakh, one, the king of Megiddo, one, the king of Kadesh, one, the king of Jokneam of Carmel, one, the king of Dor and the coast of Dor, one, the king of the nations of Gilgal, one, the king of Tirzah, one, all the kings, 30 and one. You will never gain victory over the giants or kings or mountains in your life if you do not challenge them. it's time for them to have no place in our lives. All right, Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. If things don't look like you want them to, then call it the way you want it. I don't care if it stands there 40 days like Goliath and taunts. How long are you willing to stand? When you've done all to stand, what does it do? What do? Stand. Genesis 2:19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. I'd say dead meat. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Even before he had any children, God called him the father of many nations. He said, look up at the stars, and that's how your descendants will be. See, we have to get a picture of our answer. And that has to be our focus, not what the giant's saying. Call it the way you want it. Seems there are more and more thorns to have to deal with in this time that we live in right now, but we will prevail. We will. We use spiritual weapons for these critters. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and leading into captivity every thought into obedience to Christ. That's our weapons. Not natural flesh and blood weapons. These are God's mighty weapons that assure our victory when we use them. We make the call. Rain or complain. It's time to stop talking about the mountain and talk to it. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Joshua killed those 31 kings. Well, I hope you aren't standing in 31 different situations, but God wants us to reign in life.